May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 617. The new man and the old by no means can agree. The one in sin is bold, from sin the other's free. The principles of grace and sin a constant warfare must maintain. 617.
Thank you. the holy word of God, let us read in the book of the Revelation, chapters 21 and 22, the last two chapters in the scriptures. Revelation of John, chapters 21 and 22. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great cry out of heaven, saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them, and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are faithful and are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. And the city lieth four square, and the length is as large as the breadth, And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof, 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third a chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth a topaz, the tenth a chrysoprasus, the 11th a jacinth, the 12th an amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it. And the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honour into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honour of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither worketh abomination, or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be written in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign for ever and ever. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servant the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, See thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book. Worship God. And he saith unto me, Seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gate into the city. For without are dogs, and sorcerers, and whoremongers, and murderers, and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Let us pray. O thou most great and blessed God, do favour us here this evening, even now, with a spirit of prayer. O Lord, we come as beggars poor at mercy's door. Oh, we pray there may be that anointing from above. Oh, there may be that fresh dew and unction with the Word of God this night, that the ministry may be a ministry of the Spirit. Ah, that there may be with that power, that life, and that lasting effect. Lord, we beg that thy word of grace may have a lasting effect upon us. Oh, how we do need saving, day by day, hour by hour. Oh, we do pant for living streams. Lord, we want life, eternal life. Lord, we have natural life. How good thou art in this. And we bless thee for it. And we know that we're living beings by very feeling and sense and knowledge and life in all its vigour. Oh, but Lord, it's a dying life here. Oh, we must all come to our dying pillow, Lord. And life will expire. Our mortal powers will decline. And we believe this, Lord. We're often fearful and wonder whether we shall be cut off shortly, for we certainly deserve it. And yet, Lord, we pray that as we believe that there is an appointed time to man upon the earth, as Job does say, are not his days as the days of an hireling? Oh, we do pray that thou spare us all our appointed days, but maybe have that exercise. Even as again we read by that godly man, all the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. Well, we do believe that it is at an appointed time. And maybe be rightly exercised day by day, hour by hour, oh, to be ready. Oh, to have oil in our lamps. Oh, to be well prepared. And to whom else can we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. We believe and are sure that that Christ, the Son of the living God, Lord, be with us in life's journey. We need thee much. We're poor men, feeble, helpless, wandering, wretched, sinners of the earth. Lord, have mercy on us. Guide us in all matters. Guide us in every step. Do provide for us, Lord. Save us. Save us especially from our sins. Oh, we look at our black record. Oh, we've sinned and failed at every turn, Lord. Sin is mixed with all we do. Ah, we feel, we know, we need a complete washing. Ah, not our feet only, as Peter said, but our hands and our head. Oh, we do pray that thou wilt go before us every step. Lord, order our way safely, provide for us, strengthen us naturally in the earthly scene, and strengthen these weak bodies, but strengthen us, Lord, in our souls. Oh, teach us to live by faith. Help us still to wrestle on, to press toward that mark. Oh, to fight the good fight of faith, and what a warfare it is. And we know this, left to ourselves without a divine assistance. Sin and Satan and the world and the flesh and the devil are all too strong for us, Lord. We've known many, many defeats, but we believe we can say, we do know some sweet victories, and only thou canst give us the victory at last. We sung of that sore conflict, Lord, the flesh lusting against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And there's a contrariness within us, Lord, as the apostle so does set it well forth in his epistle. and we live to prove like him when we would do good, evil is present with us. The evil we would not, that we do, and the good we would, we do not. And when we do a little, we fail and realise it, Lord. But unto thee be all glory. Oh, do give us the victory at last, Lord. Oh, we do pray then for thy divine help. Lord, we need thee every passing hour of our life, Lord. Maintain us a life in our souls, Lord, and lead us each forth by that right way that we might go to a city of habitation. What a wonder, Lord, a wonder of wonders it will be for us to get home to heaven at last. Truly, thou wilt be completely crowned if such poor sinners really enter in and see the King in his beauty. We will then, oh, and what with swelling joy and swelling love, crown the Lord of all as we join that lasting song. Oh, we're poor sinners. Come where we are, Lord. We've many fears, many weights, many difficulties, many heavy trials. Things soon bowl us over. We're cast down in a moment. We're so often, Lord, ready to halt. We wonder where the seam will end. Afflictions, bodily afflictions, trying circumstances, solemn blows, disappointments, Lord, sudden storms. Oh, how they seem to so fill us with dismay, and we soon faint. Lord, but we seem to have even a greater trial and a greater trouble. Our sinnership. The trials of life are enough to sink us. But look at our sins. Oh, what a dreadful storm. Oh, what a desperate weight. Oh, what a desperate woe. A hell-deserving woe upon us, Lord. Ah, but may we look to thee and to the power of thy resurrection. May we look to Calvary. Oh, may we plead thy sin-atoning blood. May we plead thy one offering for sin. Plead the word of God, the word of life, those exceeding great and precious promises. Help us to believe in thee, believe in thy name, believe the scriptures, and venture to thee, and lay hold upon thee. Lord, do give us life. Bless us tonight, Lord. Do us good. May there be a word in season for one and for another. Thou alone, thou kind physician, has with thee, oh, such infallible cure. When we seem to be half believers, Lord. Ah, oh, we do believe it in our heart, really. But whatever our woe and our sinnership and our impossibilities and our deep heart-rending sorrows, Lord, ah, with thee is such a fullness of grace. Oh, such healing balms and medicines. Oh, thou canst say, peace be still. Thou canst truly deliver us from the power of death. And him that hath the power of death, that is the devil. Oh, thou canst pardon all our sins. Oh, one look from thee can make us whole, Lord. Visit us tonight. We thank thee for thy mercies. They're very great. We look back over life's journey. In spite of our base, monstrous ingratitude, Lord, thou'st been a good God, and we own it, and we desire to give thee all glory. And so help us now. Bless this people. Grant them thy spirit. Dwell among them. Send thy dear servants to them. With the thus saith the Lord, crown thy gospel with success. Pour out thy spirit among them. Quicken souls and make them cry, Jesus, save me, or I die. feed the poor, strengthen the weak, loose prisoners, remove the veil of unbelief, soften hard hearts. Ah, Lord, open the eyes of the blind. And oh, we do pray that thou sweetly confirm again and again the souls of the disciples. Bless our dear friends in office. Give them much wisdom and grace and godly fear. Do dwell among them. Do give them that wise and understanding heart. Have them do all things with a single eye to the glory of the great head of the church. May remember they're thy servants. And may they keep their hearts and their minds stayed upon thee. May the church be united together in the true fear of God, praying one for another, seeking one another's welfare. May there be that unity of the Spirit here, Lord, in the bond of peace. What think ye of Christ? Oh, may they all with one shoulder and one lip say, Ah, the Blessed One, who we so much need. So bless them each, and add unto them, Lord, such as shall be saved. Oh, may they be those sweetly constrained to walk in gospel ordinances, to do these things in remembrance of thee. Thou art so worthy to be remembered, who remembered us in our low estate. Help us then, Lord, in our little way by faith, to remember thee. And may we ever pray, even as the dying man prayed, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. So please remember us now, and help us still to remember thee. Bless us then, we pray. And gather others in from this village and district, Lord, such as shall be saved. Oh, may there be some prodigals that may return. Bless our younger friends, the dear children, the little ones. Be gracious to them. Oh, do visit them while young. And open their hearts in early days. They may know what it is to begin to be in want. They may have that hunger and thirst after righteousness given to them, which thou alone can satisfy and fill them with thy grace. Lord, hear prayer then for the youth and the young men and young women. Bless a young friend in North America on business. Be gracious to him. Help him. Take care of him. May return safely to the lady he hopes to come into that sweet estate of marriage, or ordained by thee. Bless him and his dear one. And bless all our dear young friends. Oh, be gracious to them. All among us afflicted. Those who have been those with serious afflictions and those serious conditions with them still. Yet, Lord, we thank thee for all the mercies, the measures, the goodly measure of healing, and so much help and lengthening of days. Above all, sanctify it to each for the furtherance of the gospel, thou visit with thy salvation, and hear our cries for healing and restoring mercies, and truly lengthening of days, if it can please thee. We're poor men. Ah, we brought nothing into the world. We don't know what a day may bring forth at this time. We plan, though we hope we don't plan to our way, concerning the gospel ministry. Let it be thy plan. Let it be thy ordering, Lord. And while we make the engagements, may we be spared to fulfill them, Lord. Oh, be with us still, and help us in all matters. The will of the Lord be done. Oh, we need thee. We thank thee for rains, those heavy rains at home, which we truly needed, and thank thee for them. Pray thou send thee rain and the sunshine, there may be, according to thy promise, Lord, another harvest. But now we must turn to thy word, Lord. Do help us. Do be with us now. Oh, loose a poor stammerous tongue. May there be a word in season for the poor and needy, Lord. We plead the pardon of our mighty sins. We plead thy rich blessing. And we plead thy all-prevailing name, for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 678. There's not a man that's born of God but readily will say, if ever my poor soul be saved, 'tis Christ must be the way. 678.
Complete dependence upon the help of the Holy Ghost, I ask your prayerful attention to the book of the Revelation of John, chapter 21, and to the last sentence in verse 6. the book of the Revelation, chapter 21, and to verse 6, and the last sentence. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. I must say I've noticed that in the last few months, as it were, I have attempted to preach from various parts of Scripture on the sacred and glorious theme of waters and of the thirst. And I find again this evening the same truth distilling in my soul. May the Lord help me. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. What a promise. What a blessed declaration. Oh, my dear friends, this is the pure word of God. By him who sits upon the throne, and he cannot lie. And you know whether you thirst. What an infinite mercy, even in distress, under the plague of sin, troubling you. Oh, as it were, gnawing at your conscience. And the fears that rise, and the battles that you are engaged in, if it can truly be said, you thirst for him, in whom you believe alone can help, deliver, richly bless. We all thirst, do we not? We must draw this natural illustration. I have had to do so in the, a number of times now, from time to time, this year, or the last 3 or 4 months, seem to have come back to sacred truth. And we all know what natural thirst is. And we know what it is in after heavy labours or a long journey or in pain and weakness. We thirst for some cold water to relieve us and to strengthen us and to fortify us and renew our vigour. Ah, my friends, what a wonderful thing if it is in such sinners with hard hearts like ours and wicked, dreadful, hellish natures and dispositions like ourselves. Thirst for living waters, pure water, holiness, the presence of God, the forgiveness of sins, to be fed with the bread of life and to partake of the water of life, that we might live upon him, that he might satisfy our soul. This is a spiritual thirst, of course, a spiritual thirst. And those who rest from their labours, we read, don't we, in chapter 7, neither shall they thirst any more. They don't thirst in glory. They swim in the ocean of everlasting love. But you thirst here. I believe this, if we have the life of God with us, that our thirst will increase. Our thirst will increase. You who have been in the way some years now, maybe very tried, whether you've mistaken the way, it's all a sham and a counterfeit, and you mourn over unprofitableness. Oh, you sigh and cry out, for life, everlasting life. Oh, for God's mercy. I come to places, and I believe some of you do, you feel your need of his mercy as never before. You thought in early days none could need mercy more, none could need, oh, the Lord to visit you more, relieve you more, and oh, none could need forgiveness more than you. And here we are, journeying on. We feel our need of a fresh sense of his pardoning love, thy pardoning voice, oh, let me hear. Oh, and how we are solemnly humble to know the plague in our own heart. We read in Solomon's prayer, and every man shall know the plague of his own heart. There's a deadly plague, you know, a death in it. And apart from, why, my friends, divine remedy, everlasting love, pardoning love, and all sanctifying grace, we die in our sins. And therefore we thirst, oh, for living water supplies to relieve us in the journey. Do you thirst for the blessing of Christ? And how can you get the blessing of Christ? You're so deep in debt. Oh, what can you do? You do your best. You try and pray more. You struggle more. You resist more. Ah, we're a long time learning that lesson, you know. We read of in John 15, Jesus setting himself forth as the vine and we the branches. For without me ye can do nothing. Without fleeing to me, oh, without looking unto me, without my divine help, without my everlasting strength, without my living waters in my everlasting love, mercy and grace to you, you can do nothing. Ah, oh, don't like the margin, severed from me. And when there's no real divine contact for a little season in our life, you know, oh, we soon fall a prey to sin, death and hell. I believe some of you know that so painfully. An amazing grace. His love does not change to these poor backsliding rebels, you know. I was thinking earlier today, that word, and he shall come whose right it is. It made me ponder the claim and the of him whose right it is to bless, save, and have all glory from his people. And then I thought of that word in Malachi. Will a man rob God? Yet you've robbed me, this whole nation. Wherein they say, have you robbed the in tithes and offerings? In rendering all honour and all glory and all praise to me. And when we lie convinced and guilty in our hearts, oh, you thirst for his everlasting mercy, his everlasting love. Under the sweetness of the streams, you know, you long to render all to him. But by the plague of the Canaanite in the land and his subtle influence, you know, oh, there are times when we perceive indeed we wander from him. There's not the tenderness, the exercise. Ah, in this we rob him. And how slow we are to praise and how slower to trust. Were there not 10 lepers cleansed? But where are the 9? And this one's a Samaritan that's returned to give thanks. Oh, what about those shameful Jews? Oh, friends, may we render unto him all glory. And coming with Jeremiah, it is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed, for his compassions fail not. When we consider what he has done for this poor and afflicted people, When we consider he laid down his life, what more, you saints, could Jesus do, as the poet says? Why, he wept, he bled, he groaned for you. What more, ye saints, could Jesus do? May sing it in chapel, yea, and have tasted that living stream, and worshipped him in spirit and in truth. And here we find another time when a life draws near, we can sing it, and we feel the hardness of our heart under it. And sometimes we can sing it with some indifference, and even not realise where we are wandering to. Well, I mustn't digress from the subject, must I? But I'm just setting forth, my friends, the bad cases of these sinners saved by grace. And when you learn the plague of your heart, feelingly, painfully, I believe it makes grace such a wonder. I believe then you begin to see in him such riches, such heavenly treasures, and how, that light is so sweetly given, and by the new birth and by the divine visitation, that light is never taken away. Clouds may come. It may seem that the candle in your soul seems to be flickering and almost seems ready to die out. But he that's begun a good work in you. That's a wonder, isn't it, friend? He that's begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. But you see, I must come to the text properly. Just a few preambles but I do feel it solemnly, you know. Oh, how we rob God again and again in our lives. But he won't be robbed of his people. Simon, Simon, Satan's desire to have thee may sift thee as wheat, but I've prayed for thee, thy faith fail not, and none shall pluck them out of my hand. We're humbled by these things. And we live to prove. When I was a young man, earlier in the way, the Lord, I believe he did begin something in my heart, though I'm often troubled about things with me now, but I can't deny it. I daren't deny it. But you know, I quite thought that I'd be so different to the groaning saints, I'd make sure I didn't backslide, I'd always be prayerful, always be spiritual. I felt the power and the sweetness, the blowing of the Spirit. Oh, the Lord's tender mercies to the chief of sinners. Ah, we're humbled. We're no better than our fathers. We're no different. There's not a smarter generation of Christians ever to appear in the earth. They're all poor, needy sinners, saved by grace. And they're led in such a pathway. They thirst for the living God. They need that grace. Yea, they know they shall die and sink without that grace. They cannot endure without it. And they are humble to know, they need those living waters again and again. Yea, continual supplies. But I must hasten to the word quickly. The Lord help me. Well, he says, I will give unto him that is athirst. Now, notice first, I will give. Here's something that suggests that we are lost without that giving. And that is a doctrine that isn't very pleasing to us, my friends. And yet it's something that becomes a most sacred and wonderful truth to poor sinners who know stirrings up in their soul. Because you recognise the mighty hand of God in you. In your heaviness, in your impossibilities, in your heavy guilt, in your own condemnation. Yet you know in your distresses, the stirrings in your soul, you want God's mercy. God's mercy. Oh, God's infinite compassion. Oh, that the Lord could look upon you. Oh, that he could arise with healing in his wings. Oh, that he could pardon our mighty sins. Oh, that he could strengthen us and bring us through the worst here below and bring us home to God. Yes, I will give. But who to? This is amazing grace, isn't it? The thirsty. So this really sets forth, and illustrates, and many other parts of Scripture set forth the same truth, don't they? That those who really thirst for the living God have eternal life. Because he gave us natural life. We had no power in that natural life. None of us remember our birth, do we? We had no power in it. Who quickened us in our mother's womb? Who brought us forth safely out of our mother's womb? The hand of the Almighty God. Blessed be God. And here we are now with natural life. But we didn't give it to ourselves. And now it's like that in everlasting life. Yea, he who fixed our first and our second birth. I was thinking earlier today and saying to a dear friend concerning all things, all circumstances and matters as they unfold. Do we truly believe that all unfoldings are by his hand? Sin accepted, but he can take it all in his controlling grace, you know. It's a wonderful thing, isn't it? He's never the author of sin and our follies, is he? May we ever reverence him. It's our own wickedness. But can he take it in hand in grace? What a mercy he can. What a mercy he can take us in hand and humble us and reprove us in fatherly love and show us his salvation. The fictitious power of chance and fortune I defy. My life's minutest circumstances subject to his eye. Now he gives eternal life. Eternal life. I will give. So he is here promising more of that that is begun. Begun. You know, I think it's right to say this. You may not perceive it altogether this way, but I think as you journey on, you'll see this more and more. All real religion begins with a thirst. And the reason is you have such a need. You must find peace. You must find pardon. You must be reconciled. You must be forgiven. You must know reality. Oh, you must find favour of God. You must obtain his blessing. There is the desire. There is the need. And you see, the thirst sets forth the need, the increasing need, the increasing desires of man's soul. I believe the dear people of God, except one be very favoured in their soul today, and maybe nearing the end, God knows those secrets, we don't really feel in throughout much of our journey ripe for heaven, do we? We're not quite ready to die, are we? Now you look at the fields. Now I noticed one or two being dry, one or two fields have been harvested. But to go back a few weeks, you see, yes, there was the growth, there was some ripening. There was still plenty of green, not ready for harvest. But it's wheat and it's barley and it's the various crops. Now the dear people of God, oh, they're in the field. They're the planting of the Lord, trees of righteousness. Oh, they're springing up in the Lord's garden and vineyard here below. There's one harvest for them. One harvest. And my dear friends, you will have an increasing need to be made ready for the harvest day, the dying pillar. Oh, we have an increasing need to be truly separated, to be weaned from the world. Isn't it hard to be weaned from the earthly scene? We love it. We were singing of that in our opening hymn, though there the emphasis on the perhaps the awful and more sinful and wretched things. But how earthbound we are by nature, so attached to our loved ones, attached to earthly sin. This is very natural. And because we're so attached, there's a shrinking at the thought of harvest and a leaving. Oh, my friends, I know this bitterness and fear. But you know, there is a great husbandman in heaven, isn't there? Such a perfect saviour. One who can do everything. Who can deal gently with his people. Strengthen his people. Hear their pathetic breathings. Oh, he knows that without his light, we cannot see properly. Oh, he knows that without his divine assistance, we cannot trust and cannot believe to comfort and to strength of our own soul. Oh, how we truly need his watering and his sunshine and the blowings of his spirit, either those cold north winds or vehement east winds that drop everything in divine reproof and conviction, or the balmy south with the showers that brings forth the growth. Oh, my friends, but here's a promise. I will give to him that is athirst. What a mercy then if you thirst for the living God. It's a real sign of love. Now that thirst increases. And, my dear friends, if you taste that stream, you will never thirst for another. Some of you may feel very poor and weak and in a sad condition spiritually compared with former days and so tried about things. But I was thinking of the word this afternoon. The Lord visiting that sinner who had had five husbands was now living with another. He said something to her. Now, here was a kindling of life. She only had natural thirst when the Lord first began to converse with her. But I believe she went away with an everlasting... Well, she had a spiritual thirst which would indeed end in everlasting satisfaction. But you see, Jesus said to this sinner, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. There may be a seeming contradiction here. Shall never thirst again. Well, we think of that word already quoted in Revelation. And they shall thirst no more. And again it says, they shall hunger no more, nor thirst any more. So the sense really is this. Once you taste this living stream deep in your heart, you know, all other waters are bitter waters. There's death in every stream. But in the sweet well of Bethlehem, John Kent tells us in 1091, living waters, the love of Christ. But here we are, poor men, soldiering along, many fears, weak in constitution, so vulnerable and helpless, and with a roaring enemy watching all our weak points and threatening to break in, threatening to destroy. Oh, what a warfare it is. But you see, this word stands, doesn't it? I will give. So he who has given you eternal life has given you a life that is his life for you. And he maintains your soul alive. And he will maintain it alive forever. And the warfare is but a twinkling of an eye compared with the everlasting rest, where you will sing the lasting song. I will give unto him that is athirst, that is athirst. Well, my dear friends, I believe the Lord's people, oh, how they thirst for him to relieve their souls. Oh, how you thirst in your heart for him to revive his work again, blow upon you again. In those early seekings and early distresses when your heart is stirred up, oh, how you thirst that he should visit you. You can use a language like the psalmist, son to my soul, I am thy salvation. Had those desires at the beginning. You've still got those desires, haven't you? Those desires seem to increase, don't they? When we consider his everlasting love, you know, he's married to his people. He will have all their heart. He will have them completely. He loves them body and soul. But their body, of course, must go to dust, because with a body and a nature like they can't go to glory, but they are forgiven and reconciled. His precious blood has atoned for everything, and they will rise out of the grave. That is, their body will arise like unto his glorious body. And their sins are washed away, their souls are washed and made white in the blood of yea, their being is body and soul, washed and made white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore his name, and be thankful, I think I've touched upon this subject here before, his name is Jealous. Be thankful his name is Jealous. Perhaps it's a bitter thing to the moment, because you can see that can only be vengeance to me. If he's jealous of his own glory, oh, what of my terrible sinnership? What of my wantonness and my base ingratitude, my sinful returns to so many mercies? His name is Jealous, though, to those who thirst for him. Yes, he will have them. He will destroy their enemies. Yea, he must have them with him, so he will deal graciously with them, and he'll bring them in the affections of their heart. And those affections arise from eternal life. And those affections arise in the accompanying thirst for, yes, his instruction, his divine teaching, his rich blessing, to open his hand. You want to see the hand of the Lord open towards you, don't you? We read, don't we? And of course the psalmist there in David's Psalm of Praise 145, thou openest thine hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. And he certainly does in nature. Look at the birds feeding. There you see the opening hand of God to creation. And look at our full fields, and look at our full larders as well. Oh, how the Lord has so kindly opened his hand in providence unto creation, hasn't he? Ah, but to the living soul. Openest thine hand, gives eternal life, and such a need arises. You know, dear friends, those beginnings are all variable, aren't they, in the hand of him who feels his father's throne. There's no two cases ever completely the same, you know. A man may be walking along the road. Lord may begin a work of grace in his heart. He comes into one. They've never been in a church or a chapel. Begins to perceive there is one. A great one. He begins to perceive there's something seriously wrong with him. And he must find peace. And I believe the blessed Spirit who kindles that will lead him to found a living water. Lead him to a living ministry too. In all the unfoldings of his hand upon him, another, or maybe a solemn visitation in judgment and in trial and afflictions and sorrows, and they're found naked. Or at least they may have had some feeble desires, but oh, now it's real earnest and serious. And such a poor sinner too. So it's a cry from the heart. Well, I haven't time to go into all the various ways. Another could we, if we lived 1,000 years, tell all the wonderful works of God. He opens the heart his way. He brings you into want. He brings you to be desperate about yourself and about your circumstances. Need a complete salvation. Oh, you want to know and see the hand of the mighty God of Jacob upon you. Yes, working all things for your good. I will give unto him. I do like that, I will give unto him, you know. Where would you be without his giving, my friend? Without his giving. Oh, you have been brought up under the sound of the truth. You now hope, and you can't deny it, you're exercised about your soul. You can't deny it. Perhaps you don't feel able to tell another person at the present time you're exercised. But maybe they can see it because they see a change. Ah, my dear friends, but it's between your soul and God, the matter, not what other people think or say. It's in your soul and God. Do you know, I believe in the kingdom of heaven, every case is singular. Every case is singular. You must know the Lord's blessing. You must receive from him. He must save you. You must be saved from yourself. You must be saved from your sins. And you long to be saved in your circumstances also. You want God's mercy to flow your way in every aspect of your life. See, this is descriptive of the thirst. The thirst. We read, don't we, in Psalm 40, I've preached from that on this subject recently, and I can't remember the various places, but on this particular theme. You know, he said, my soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. A real sinner, a sinner which has a never-dying soul, and he knows it, and he's a desperate case, he thirsts for God, the living God. Now, I do like the living God. See, the profession of Martha and the profession of Peter, they knew that blessed one was the living God, the Son of the living God. And they were sinners, weren't they? Oh, Martha had her failings, and so did Peter, and so do we. And what do you thirst for? Ah, his forgiving love. Oh, his tender mercies. His mighty, gracious hand, as I said just now, the opening of it toward you. In love and peace and mercy. And he goes on the Psalm 42. When shall I come and appear before God? He wanted to appear. He wanted, if I may put it this way, a holy audience or an interview. Oh, he wanted to tell the Lord his load. Oh, he longs to confess all his sins. Fall flat on his face and say, I've sinned, I've sinned, I've sinned. Lord, this sin with all I've done. You want to plead with him, to put in a plea, and to, oh, if you may so venture, to touch him, and to lay hold upon him, and to receive the promised virtue which you hear of, and it does your soul good to hear of it. Yea, my friend, it strengthens your weak hand and it confirms your feeble knee. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. Yes, the living God is that great high priest, Jesus Christ, the living God, the Son of the living God. He's there who intercedes all for the poor and needy in their nakedness. What a tremendous truth it is. I preached it recently. This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Oh, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. He communes with them. Ah, you see, I will give unto him that is athirst. And when he visits your soul, you do give him the glory. You know, my friends, you know it's all of his grace then, don't you? Stand in awe and wonder at the grace and fall down and worship him. I'll give unto him that is athirst of the water of the fountain of the water of life free. This fountain of the water of life is really everything you need for your remaining days in time and such blessed preparations for a glorious eternity. And the beauty here is that opposites meet in grace, don't they? An infinitely pure, holy, sin-hating, majestic, everlasting God, full of dignity and power, and a hell-deserving sinner, a base, ungrateful monster, a poor worm of the earth. Do I exaggerate, my friends? Do I exaggerate your case to say we're base, ungrateful monsters? I hope not. I hope not. Oh, I would be bold, though I would be clothed with humility, the Lord saving me from my own spirit, but I'd have to say, I think there's something lacking if you're only a pretty sinner, a small sinner. But I believe, oh, if you can come with the poet here, oh, you've got a real thirst. No arm can reach my desperate case, but his whose name is truth and grace. Reminds you another couplet also. My soul and being in a hopeless case, were it not for sovereign grace. I will give. I do like that, I will give. And there is a thirst. How we're weak in our thirst, you know. You see, in this thirst, you feel so wretched at times in his sight. And you see him, oh, you're saying, how can the Lord look upon me? I'm black. Like the spouse in the canticles. Why, she said, look not thou upon me. Oh, but she was black. Oh, how you feel so uncomely in all your parts, in our pollution and blood. So we read in Ezekiel 16. As we were born naked and under sin, you see, it's described there, isn't it? The nakedness of our birth. Ah, my friends, living water from him was opened the fountain for sin and for uncleanness. Why, the fountain of the blood of the everlasting covenant. Oh, that precious sin-atoning blood, sinner, cleanses from all sin. It's hard to believe it at times. It's a blessed truth, and the Holy Ghost will engrave it on your heart when he truly blows upon your soul. The blood of Christ, the precious blood, cleanses from all sin, the lifetime of it, sins to your dying day, oh, even sins on a dying bed. Solemn thought, isn't it? But oh, my friends, the saints often prove that to be verily true, and they've wanted Christ as never before. And reconciles the soul to God from every folly, every fault. Ah, oh, how he forgave that woman who was brought in the very act of sin. Go and sin no more. Ah, my friends, the Pharisees crept away. Solemnly they crept away from the Saviour. Some of you long to creep near him, don't you? Oh, that I may but touch but his clothes. Oh, that he'd look upon me. Oh, did it relieve my soul? Oh, did it come and confirm in my soul that I'm his? And oh, did he make himself precious and show me that this wretched worm is precious in his sight? I will give unto him there's a thirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. Now, this fountain really is grace, sovereign. Let's quote Gatsby, shall we? No, it's not Gatsby, I think. Hail, sovereign, free, eternal grace that gave my soul a hiding place. Maybe it's Brewer, but that doesn't matter, the author. You see, my friends, it's the grace, the exceeding grace, the abundant grace, so sovereign, even reaching you, the chief of sinners. Ah, coming where you are, bringing you into, and where would you be without grace? Living careless in the world. And your heart knows it, friend, doesn't it? Where would you be? Lost in the world, enjoying life, and just going to chapel on Sundays, maybe, to keep a quiet conscience and have some hazy hope that one day you'll be saved and go to heaven. That's where we would be, my friends, and I would be there too. Were it not for free, eternal, matchless grace that gave my soul a hiding place. These living waters help you, enable you, strengthen you to look to the Lord Jesus. Said at home on Sabbath evening, the blessed Spirit always directs and leads to the glorious person of the Lord Jesus. That's where you see a clear work of grace. A man who is convinced under the law, but he may never be led to Christ. He may then come to works and duties and to the will of his flesh and comfort him in his own idolatrous thoughts. Nay, but the Spirit will lead you as a poor man to him who can save unto the uttermost and who has promised to save unto the uttermost because he lives, the living God. But this man, because he continues ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. And how many times in a pilgrimage does a poor pilgrim come to some uttermost places in his life? But you see, it's grace. This is the fountain of grace. Grace that brought you to tremble before God. Grace that brings you to own your vanities before him. Take your own life also. Grace that opens your heart to pray and to call upon that precious name. Grace that all gives you gospel light. And also imparts that life into your own being, that you begin to really flee to him and begin to believe in him as never before. Some people speak of believing as though it's a once thing. You do this and you believe everything really, and you go on as a nice Christian. Now, this is not the believing of the Holy Ghost. In that believing you reach forth. In that believing, you know your need of the fullness of him. You believe him to be good, a God ready to forgive and ready to pardon. You believe he will help you, that his word shall stand. Oh, he does come and minister, and you need him to come and minister to you. And in believing, you call upon his name and wait upon him and find it a sweet thing to wait upon him, a sweet thing to plead the grace. The Lord give us light concerning his free grace, his free grace. He gives grace to those who he died for, to those whose sins he atoned for. They're the very people that need him, his sheep. My sheep hear my voice, sometimes in strokes in providence, other times, oh, they hear the voice of the good shepherd. They see the hand of God upon them in every aspect, in every part of their life. We want to see it, don't we? The bitter and the sweet. It's all sweet in heaven, but there are some bitter things, because these are they which came out of great tribulation. That's the bitter this side of the grave. But here's the sweet, and a sweet sense of glory is yet to appear, which will make amends for all. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present world are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. And therefore these are they which came out of great tribulation. And they occupy, didn't they? And this was their occupation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. They confessed their sins to me. They called upon me. They cried after me. They hungered and thirsted after me. Oh, they sank down before my feet. They would not let me go except I blessed them. Oh, they put their trust in me, and their trust was not vain. Though they were tempted to think it was vain, though the enemy pursued them, and though he sought to overcome them and destroy them, though he may make them slip and fall as he did many of the Bible saints, yet I restored their soul. Oh, I prayed for them. You see, he gives to his sheep living waters. And it's those living waters that refresh your soul. And that's what you need. His blessing, his favour, his mercy, his help. And all the grace in him. Why? Graces, my friends, that we need. And graces that we need in trials that we can't face. Divine submission. Ah, my friends, humility. Oh, to trust and sink down. Oh, for him to be with us. Oh, for him to undertake for us. Yes, and how we need his pardoning love, and yet his healing. He heals his from the Lord that healeth thee, you see. Now, I know I've got to close on, so I mustn't keep you really. Ah, but you see this grace, it's the spirit of prayer, isn't it? Ah, my dear friends, you see, it is a little taste of that everlasting love. In love he begets you. In love he suffers our manners. In love he reproves us. In love he brings us to poor men. Now you see, in love we have a cross here. Blessed yoke of the gospel. I know it's a blessed yoke. But sometimes you see, when faith is a low ebb, that yoke is not easy and burden isn't light. It's rather heavy, isn't it? And the more unbelief gets its workings in our heart, the heavier the yoke gets, doesn't it? Till we seem to ready to sink unto the trial, forgetting, oh, there's a blessed one in heaven. Oh, that he waits to be gracious, that he waits to hear and answer prayer. No, I've not dealt with this subject properly tonight. So I have to close. I'll give unto him that is a thirst, the fountain, all my love and all my mercy, and all my love and all my deliverance. For I reckon the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. What a miracle. Oh, what a miracle to come safely through. I believe really the saints, you know, they're brought to bless God for every trial. Nature can't do that. Oh, I know what nature would do, what Job's wife said we should do, curse God and die. But no, you daren't speak as one of those foolish women, do you? No, you want Christ. Pardon me, Lord. Bless me. Have compassion. Now, I must touch upon this is compassion. I had some meditation beforehand and it slipped my mind, but here it comes. He's all compassion. There's such a priest in heaven, you know. Tell him your worst fear. Tell him your whole case. Don't be afraid to come. Tell him how weak you are and how you need all his mercy. And could he turn his heart towards you in compassion? Could he hear your prayers? Now, these aren't light-hearted prayers I'm going to mention here, you see, but we do have a word of grace in Scripture, a wonderful word, you know. This, and it's this, John 14:14. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now, it has to be in submission to his divine will. But I do like what we read. Again, I think I've quoted from 1091 already this evening. Yes, it's in that hymn on Bethlehem's sacred world. But I do like this, you know. Why does the stretch of human woe? Now, you know your human woe, don't you? Sin and its consequences. What helpless worms we are. Why does the stretch of human woe, those death-consuming waters flow? Spring up, O well. There's the prayer of the poor and needy, the prayer of faith. If you ask anything in my name, spring up, O well. Be this my theme, thou water sweet from Bethlehem, to cheer when faint, when sick to heal, its wondrous virtues must prevail, they must. My sins to crush, my fears to quell, spring up, O stream, from Bethlehem's well, a merciful and a faithful high priest. The poet says, yet that all compassion, pure unbounded love thou art. And did he send any poor petitioner away? Empty, my friend. The rich man went away. He went full of his religion and he wanted God to bless him for it. So he went away disappointed. Ah, but not the naked and the lepers and the blind and the lame and those poor sinners caught out in their sins before him who they recognised as being the Messiah. Oh, they were blessed. And those living waters, you know, in your thirst, they will bring to you, in your thirst, a holy recognition. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You know he's the Christ because he's the blessed one you want for yourself. And no man has taught you this. It's come by the blowing of the Holy Ghost upon your soul. Now, I have to close, I'm sorry, but freely. Freely. He kindled without your power. He kindled in the first place without your asking. But when he kindled it, all you did need. And you had to begin to ask. And such pathetic askings too. You're almost choked in your fears and your sins. Even in asking, how can he bless me? I'm such a desperate character. Yes, but you asked. And are still asking. You see, and I'll give you the thirst of the fountain. All my love, all my mercy, all my grace. All that's in me for sinners as the living God. Of the fountain of the water of life. Freely, without money, without price, we may come naked. Plead that name, that all-prevailing name. Plead all the grace, all the strength, all the righteousness, all the help, the ministerings of Christ to your soul. You so much need, and may we be emboldened. Let us therefore come boldly. Because thou art the Christ. Oh, the Syrophoenician woman, she came boldly. Jacob boldly wrestled, didn't he? Oh, blind Bartimaeus boldly called out when they told him to keep silence. They had secrets, you see. Thou art the Christ. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. We may obtain mercy, find grace to help in time of need. Freely. All through the love of Christ and the blood of the everlasting covenant. Yes, and it's so free in this, you see. Seek and ye shall find, without your holiness and improvements and better prayers and casting off your sins and being successful without your abstinences and your doings this and your doings that, my friends. These are law things and our sins soon come back after we've got a little victory over them. Oh, they get the victory over us again and again. Hardness of heart, a light-hearted spirit, a careless spirit, and the love of other things. They soon overtake us when we're doing business in our own strength. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Because he gives to them the fountain of the water of life freely. Therefore they are strengthened and they do endure. And the salvation you long for is so promised. May we be helped in our believing to open our mouth wide that he might fill it. Let us ask the Lord's blessing upon the word. O Lord, bless that which has been true and of the Holy Ghost. May something remain to be a help to us poor sinners. Do grant us safe journeys home and be everlasting light, guide and salvation. We plead for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Chapman is expected to preach next Lord's Day and Mr. Pocock next Tuesday evening. Let us close with hymn number 92. Who is this fair one in distress that travels from this wilderness and pressed with sorrows and with sins on her beloved Lord she leans? Number 92.
Thank you.
May the grace of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet communion and comfort of the Holy Ghost abide with us each, both now and for evermore. Amen.